Children's church is dismissed. If Paul and Debbie. We're going to have Lord's Supper at the end. That's why worship was a little bit short. But let's go to the Lord in prayer as we continue to pray our hearts for His Word. Heavenly Father, Lord, thank You for this wonderful day. Thank You for the blessing of being able to come and have access to You in prayer and worship. Thank You for the body at Maysville, Lord. Thank You for the community that we have, the family that we have here, Lord. I pray, Lord, that we would be receptive to Your Word this morning. Lord, that our hearts and minds would be open to what Your Spirit has to say, Lord, that we would be moldable in Your hands, Lord, like a piece of clay. And Lord, You would have Your way. You would do what You want. You would accomplish what You want to accomplish in our lives. And Lord, our hearts would be, Lord, Your will be done, not ours. Lord, be with us as we study Your Word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. As we begin to celebrate Christmas, I want us to be reminded of God's mission to save the world. I want us to take full advantage of the opportunity that we have to tell others about Christmas during this time, what it's really about. I really hope that we can enjoy the true reason for Christmas this year, pulling away from all the chaos and the hustle and bustle, the materialism, and turning our eyes to Christ and why He came to the earth. But if we're going to join God in His mission to save the world, we must first be prepared in our hearts. Be prepared to be used by God. We must allow Him to do His work in our hearts. Today we're going to be in Isaiah 6. You can turn to Isaiah 6. Isaiah chapter 6. If you don't have a Bible, there should be one there in front of you. We're going to be in Isaiah 6. And we're going to look at how God prepared Isaiah to join Him in His mission. Now, the first thing that we see in Isaiah's preparation is a renewed awe of God. So I want us to focus on that, renewing our awe of God. Look there at verses 1 through 4. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and the train of His robe filled with temple. Above Him stood the seraphim. Each had six wings. With two He covered His face, with two He covered His feet, and with two He flew. And one called to another and said, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of His glory." And the foundations of the threshold shook and at the voice of Him who called, and the house was filled with smoke. What a sight. The year mentioned here about Uzziah's death is 740 B.C. Uzziah was one of the greater kings of Israel. For 52 years, he led the people in peace and prosperity. The Lord prospered Israel materially because he walked in the ways of the Lord. Although, it's very sad, it's a shame that Uzziah disobeyed the Lord at the end and died a leper. Now, with all the prosperity, you can imagine the people's feeling of loss over such a king as Uzziah. But there was a greater problem than the death of their beloved king, and they were blind to it. The economic growth and temporary peace only covered up the real issue. There was wickedness in the heart of these people. The nation was in great spiritual decline. They loved the blessing God had given them in the way of material things, but their hearts were far from Him. And so the king is dead. The nation is growing more and more distant from the Lord. There's problems on the horizon. You can imagine how Isaiah felt about all that he saw going on in his world at that time. But God, as He so often does, He turns Isaiah's eyes away from himself, away from his people, and away from all the problems he faced to look upon God in all of His glory. He reminds Isaiah that there's a greater king who is still on the throne and who is still sovereign. You know, it may be that Isaiah was in the temple when God gave him this vision. We're not really sure. But what we are sure of is that God reveals Himself to Isaiah in a very powerful way. He allowed him to get a glimpse of Christ on His glorious throne in all of His majesty and beauty and all of His holiness. He saw the magnificent angels at His side called seraphim, and he saw them calling out to one another. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is filled with His glory. Can you imagine the scene? It caused the ground to shake and smoke is filling up the temple of the Lord. How would you respond if you saw what Isaiah saw? How would you respond to that? How do you respond when you are alone with the Lord, confronted with God's word that reveals the knowledge of God and all of His wonderful attributes, all of His glory? How do you respond to that? What goes on inside of your heart and mind when you are confronted with God? God was preparing Isaiah to join Him in His mission, and He had plans for Isaiah, and He wanted to use him. He wanted to use Isaiah to be His witness to the people, to proclaim His word. But first, Isaiah had to have the right heart. He had to have the right perspective. He wanted him to see His glory. He wanted him to regain his awe of God. Isaiah needed to taste and see that the Lord was good before he could be ready to speak truth into the lives of others. In fact, God has plans for you and I as well. Wonderful plans, works. Works that He prepared and He planned out beforehand. Works that allow you and I to join Him in His mission. Join Him in His mission to save the world. Ephesians 2:10 states this about us, God's children. Listen to what he says. For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Just think about that for a minute. Just as Isaiah, God wants to use you and I. He individually created each one of us, and when He did, He had in His mind great plans and purposes for us, works that He wanted us to walk in. Works prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Works that would enable us to join Him in His mission to save the world. But just like Isaiah, if we're going to prepare ourselves to join God in His mission, we must first have the right understanding of God in relation to everything else, including ourselves. We need to better understand God and who He is. His attributes, His power, His holiness, His faithfulness, His grace and love toward the world, toward you and I. We need to gain a heavenly perspective, a new perspective that stands in awe of God and all that He is. We need to taste and see that He is good. You see, the more we grow in our understanding of God, the more we grow in our understanding of who He is, the closer we walk with Him, the more we trust Him, the more we understand His plans, the more we rely on Him, the more we become like Him, the more we understand His purpose and will for the world and for our own lives. But how can we be confronted with God and His glory? Well, it's through His Word, and it's through obedience. It's through His Word, His powerful living Word, and it's through obedience that we are confronted with God in His glory. See, as we spend time talking with Him, studying, meditating on His Word, His glory is revealed to us. His plans, His purposes, His mission is revealed to us in His Word. As we study His Word, we're learning more and more about God. Now, as we follow Him in obedience to His Word, something else happens. God begins to reveal Himself to us as we walk with Him, as we obey Him. He fills our bodies and our minds and our hearts with strength, with peace, with joy, with hope. You see how important it is that we renew our awe of God. Therefore, we need to turn our eyes away from ourselves, away from everything else going on in the world, and focus our attention on Him. Turning our eyes to Him reminds me of an old hymn written by Helen LaMelle in 1918. She wrote this hymn based on a tract that a missionary was giving out. You know the hymn. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in His wonderful face. And the things of this world will grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace. When we turn our focus to God and we grow in our understanding of Him, our awe of God is renewed. Our understanding of Him gives us a heavenly perspective, and it changes our mindset, changes our attitudes, it changes our obedience toward the Lord. What are you feeding your mind? What are you watching? What are you listening to? Can we turn our eyes from all of those things and turn our eyes to Christ? Can we look into His Word and turn our focus to God and grow in our understanding so that He changes our perspective, so that our awe is renewed of Him, so that we begin to trust Him and rely on Him? Our attitudes will be changed. Most importantly, though, as it did with Isaiah, it reveals the nature of our sinful heart. When we begin to look into God's Word and we begin to renew our awe of God and all that He is, it reveals something about us. It reveals the sin that's in our hearts, which leads us to the second thing we need to see in our lives if we're going to be prepared for God's mission. Repent of your sin. Look there at verses 5 through 7. Here's Isaiah. He's responding to what he's seeing. He says, "And I said, woe is me, for I am lost, for I am a man of unclean lips and dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Then one of the seraphim flew to me, having in his hand a burning coal that he had taken with tongs from the altar. And he touched my mouth and said, behold, this has touched your lips. Your guilt is taken away, your sin atoned for." When Isaiah was confronted with God's holiness and glory, he was able to see himself. He was able to see himself. The true nature of his heart was revealed. He realized his own sinfulness. He had a clear understanding of what was truly in his heart. He could not help but acknowledge his sinful behavior when this happened. There was no covering it up. No longer could he compare himself to someone else, as we so often do, as our standard of perfection or how good we're doing. He was confronted with God. He was confronted. He was standing before the holiness of God. And his heart was revealed. There was no covering it up. And he responds with, woe is me. Meaning, he realized he was in danger of God's holy judgment falling on him. Basically, he's saying, it's over for me. It's over for me. Just as Isaiah had proclaimed judgments on others, now he was proclaiming judgment on himself. This is what happens when we look into God's Word and we allow His holiness and His powerful words to penetrate our hearts. We are convicted of our sin. We're looking at the perfect standard, not someone else, not comparing ourselves to how bad the world may be. We're looking at God and His holiness and His perfect standard. And then in response to that, we are convicted by our sin. He was convicted of a sin, and that conviction of sin in his heart, it brought about confession of sin, which is something we should all do. It should happen to all of us. Isaiah said, "For I am lost, for I am a man of unclean lips. I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips." The mention of unclean lips here reveals the sin of his heart. Unclean lips are the product of an unclean heart. Out of the mouth, the heart speaks. This should be the normal response of God revealing himself to us. When Jesus revealed, if you remember, on the boat, and Jesus' power is revealed to Peter, catches the largest catch of fish he's ever seen. What does he do? He falls at Jesus' feet and he says, "Lord, I am a sinful man. Go away from me." You remember the self-righteous rabbi named Saul was humbled before God. Came to a place where he could say, "All my righteous deeds are nothing but filthy rags before the holiness of Christ." With all these men, when God revealed himself to them, they in turn responded with repentance and confession, which prepared them to be used by God. If we're going to be prepared to join God in His mission, we need to renew our awe of God and allow Him and allow His Word to reveal to you who He is in all of His glory. When we are confronted with His holiness, His powerful Word, our response should be humility, conviction of sin, confession and repentance, turning away from that sin. That should be our response. God wants to use us, but our hearts need to be clean. Our hearts need to be prepared. This is why time with the Lord is so important. How much will we miss out on? How many of those works will we miss out on because we refuse to spend time with God? With Isaiah, God saw his repentant heart. This is what's so powerful here. He saw that repentant heart and he forgave his sin. He said, "Your guilt is taken away, your sin atoned for." Isaiah was truly sorrowful and repentant of his sin, and God made atonement for his sin. He forgave him, just as God does for us today. 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. How amazing is that promise? It reveals his grace and mercy and his love toward us, that we can cry out to him as Isaiah did and be forgiven and cleansed of all unrighteousness. Jesus has already made atonement for you on the cross. He paid the full price for all your sins. You haven't committed any sin that his blood did not pay for. There's nothing that you could do, nothing you have done. I don't care what it is. Jesus paid for every single sin by his blood on the cross. You haven't committed any sin that he can't forgive. He stands ready to forgive you if you confess your sins, meaning you acknowledge your sin before him and you repent and turn away from it. When our hearts are made right before God, we are prepared to join him in his mission to save the world. We're prepared to make good use of the opportunities that we have during Christmas. We're not so consumed. We're not so consumed by all these other things. We're prepared. Our hearts are right to be used of God, to be his witness, to be his ambassador. We need to spend time alone with God and renew our awe of God. See him in all of his glory. We need to respond to his word with true repentance. And lastly, we need to re-enlist in God's mission. We need to re-enlist. We need to recommit to join him in what he is doing right here in our midst. Look at verse 8 and 9. And I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send, and who will go for us? Then I said, here I am, send me. And he said, go and say this people. And then he gave him a message of God's word. He gave him his word to deliver to the people. I want us to start off here making sure we understand what not to do. Many Christians who have been confronted by God and his word, you've come to this place of repentance. We want to stay in that experience that we had with God, not realizing that God did all of this to equip us and prepare us to serve him. You see, true worship and repentance should lead to witness and service. True worship and repentance should then lead to witness and service. It's not a time to make excuses of why God can't use us. He has done a great work in our hearts to prepare us to join him in what he's doing. We don't have all these people around us who are lost for no reason. You have been saved for a very wonderful reason. God wants you. He wants you. He wants to walk with you in a relationship, and he wants to use you to help others understand, to see his glory and have a relationship with God. There's a reason that God raised you up. Every single Christmas celebration you have is going to be a reason, a purpose, a work that God wants to use you in. Think about what happens next here with Isaiah. Isaiah hears the Lord speak. Who shall I send? Who will go for us? And Isaiah's heart is in the right place. He's in the right place now. He's not walking around in the guilt of his sin. He has accepted God's forgiveness, and he now has this heavenly perspective. He better understands God's mission. He better understands the need around him. God wants to save people, and he needs a willing servant to proclaim his good news to the people. So when God says, whom shall I send? Who will go for us? Isaiah responds by, here I am, send me. See, Isaiah is saying he's willing to obey God and follow him whatever he asks, wherever he wants him to go. Send me, Lord. His heart now says, not my will, Lord, but your will be done. Can you imagine saying that to the Lord? Have you ever said that? Can you imagine saying those words to the Lord? Lord, I no longer want my will to be done. I want your will to be done in my life. I've tried it my way, and I'm done with that. I'm no longer going to follow you based on my own terms. I'm going to follow you fully based on your terms. It's that denying of self, taking up our cross and following Jesus. It's that dying to self and submitting ourselves to the Spirit's leadership in our lives, letting God lead us and not us any longer. When you repent and you turn away from your old life of sin and you turn to Christ and you ask forgiveness and you say, Lord, I know I'm a sinner and I want you to forgive me. I know that you died on the cross, you rose from the grave. I believe that. And I'm surrendering my life to you. I'm calling on you. You are Lord of my life. It's no longer am I in control. It's no longer my terms. It is you that dictates my life. It's your word that I follow. I follow you. I surrender to you. You're in control. It's not my will. It's your will be done. That's what happens when we give our lives to Christ. That's what's supposed to happen. Can you imagine saying that to the Lord? Lord, not my will this time. Lord, this Christmas, not my will. It's not all about me. It's not all about my plans. It's not all about what I want to will to be done. I want your will to be done. I'm going to do it your way this Christmas. I want to make you known. No matter what you've been through in the past, no matter what you're going through at this moment, God is able to transform your heart. He's able to transform our hearts and use us for the advancement of His kingdom. This is what's so amazing. It's truly amazing that God chooses us to accomplish His will on this earth. I mean, He could have sent those angels down here, but He didn't. In His grace and power, He decided to use us, you and I. Just as He did with the mouth of Isaiah, He was proclaiming His revelation to the people. He uses our mouths to proclaim His message of good news to the world about Christ and life. Why He came on Christmas Day. Just as He told Isaiah, the same goes for us today. He said, go and say to this people. God calls us, commands us to go and tell. Go plant the seed. Go to your neighbor. Go to the next community. Go to other peoples of other countries and tell them the good news of Christ. Plant the seed of the gospel. Allow people to respond. That's our responsibility in His mission. He's given that to us. It's our responsibility. And what a wonderful time to make known to Him, to these people, the wonderful news of Christ. God stepped down into our world. He stepped down into our world and became flesh like one of us so that He would die. He came as that little baby, born of a virgin through the power of the Holy Spirit so that He could grow up, live a perfect life and become the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world on that cross. Shed His blood. He came as a baby to shed His blood for you and I. What great news that is for the world. When He stepped into this world, the angels, a multitude of angels, we're glorifying the Lord, saying glory to God in the highest. Salvation has come. The shepherds saw it. They went and saw it. They turned around and went into the city because God had revealed Himself to them. They were changed. But just like it was for Isaiah, this commission is very hard. People in the midst of prosperity did not want to hear about sin and judgment. When things seem to be going well, people think, well, what need do I have of God? Obeying God's commission is going to be difficult. It's going to make you stand out like a sore thumb, like a light in the darkness. You are going to stand out. You're going to have to go against the grain of what many people around you think. But when you know God, when we have tasted and experienced His glory and His goodness, when we stand in awe of Him, our hearts are made right through His grace and forgiveness, we can't help but tell people what He has done in our lives. We can't help it. We are so overjoyed because we have saw the awe of God as Isaiah did. He's like, I'm ready. Send me. I've been changed and I want to tell other people about it. I want others to experience the fullness of Christ. I want them to experience the spiritual blessings that He lavishes on us that I have experienced personally. It gives us a greater compassion for those who don't know Christ. In our preparation, God changes our hearts so that we can truly see the big picture of what He's offering the world. We have experienced this wonderful goodness and grace and awe of God personally. And so we are ready to go out into this world. We see the problem of sin and all of its destruction. This gives us more compassion for those who don't know Christ. We're ready. God gives us a greater love as we stand in awe of Him. We're ready to say, "Here I am, send me." I'm willing to go to my family this Christmas. I'm willing to go to my neighbor. I'm willing to go to those I work with. I'm willing to go to other nations. Send me. Is that our heart? Is that truly what we desire this Christmas? Will we take this wonderful opportunity that we have and instead of using it like the world uses it, may we use it for God's glory. May we use it to share about why do we celebrate Christmas? Why in the world? What is that baby in the manger all about? May we take this opportunity. As the worship team comes, let us take this time to renew our awe of God. Allow Him to have His way in your heart today. Repent of sin if need be, and be in that place where you say, "Lord, not my will, Your will be done." Let's join Him in what He's doing this Christmas in your midst. Let's stand up for Him and His Word, and let's give glory to God. Let's let it be about His will and not our will. Let's take this time to renew our awe of God, and then we're going to participate in the Lord's Supper.